Konnichiwa, and welcome to the Pals Anime Lounge, a podcast where a bunch of pals get together to talk about anime. The pals are Artura.
Konnichiwa, minna.
And girls.
Hi.
And I'm Ace. In today's episode, we're talking about City Hunter, a show from 1987. A slight remaster slash re-release of the PC Engine game came out last week, so I figured it was a good enough excuse to finally watch three episodes of this.
It's a classic. It's a classic, classic, classic. So many classics. It's a classic of a classic. Classic. Sorry.
Well, it is. It was animated by Sunrise, the studio behind Dirty Pair and Yohane the Parhelion, Sunshine in the Mirror, which we covered on this podcast. Also, like a million other things.
Yeah, Dirty Pair, I'm not sure, is a great one to mention. It's really dirty.
It's not. It's amazing. It's very well animated and funny, and only one instance of nudity.
Okay.
Well, that's a treat in comparison to what we're used to.
And it was unexpected because it doesn't happen near the start of the show. You're well into the show Anyway. City Hunter currently has an Annie-List score of 76%. City Hunter was a manga, had an anime, had multiple movies, a TV series, spin-offs, and, of course, City Hunter the game, released in 1990 for the TurboGrafx, aka a PC Engine, only released in Japan. It sees Ryo face off against a sinister megacorporation whose conspiracy threatens the world. And it was re-released on PC and consoles worldwide on the 25th of February this year with some new difficulty modes and some other extra stuff.
Yes, City Hunter is who we have to thank for Jackie Chan playing Chun-Li from Street Fighter.
Yeah. There is no other famous Chun-Li that you could have possibly met. My short synopsis is, a fixer fixes problems while being problematic. Atsuhara, what do you have?
Eponymous City Hunter Ryo Saeba has only one rule for his line of mercenary work. Never deny a mission from a pretty lady.
Nice. Hankers?
In 1972, a crack commando unit was sent to prison by a military court for a crime they didn't commit. Today, still wanted by the government, they survive as soldiers of fortune. If you have a problem, if no one else can help, if you can find him, maybe you can hire. Sexual harassment. I mean, sexual harassment. No. Sexual harassment.
First episode opens on Ryo Saeba pointing a sniper rifle at an exercising woman. But it's okay, he's only perving at her. He's actually been hired to shoot a sword, which he does.
Gun versus sword. Who will win?
We get the episode title card before rejoining the action with a lady in a red coat being murdered in public by a BMW driver. The car's not the weapon like you'd expect from a BMW driver. No, he uses a silenced pistol.
It's the most silenced pistol ever. The sound it makes when it shoots is so funny. I don't know, it's like a water gun. That's the sound it makes.
It's like a blow dart.
Yeah, it's actually a good point. When I was watching, I'm going to be honest, for a second there, I thought that was a protagonist. I was like, oh no, what am I watching?
She's a city, he's a hunter of cities, therefore.
Yeah, he hunts in cities.
We cut to Ryo, who I assume... We cut to Ryo, and who I assume to be his handler, as our hero eats and is told of a string of unsolved murders. It turns out that the sister of the latest victim, Natsumi Azuki, wants to hire Ryo. Ryo agrees, and tells his handler to send her to the master's place. We cut to Kamurocho from the Like a Dragon series of games. Oh, okay, fine. It's the Kabuchiko district, and I only make that correction because of the unexpected near nudity of a topless waitress wearing a skirt and nipple pasties. There's no unexpected nudity in Kamurocho.
Yeah, there's no nudity in Yakuza. It's rated A for everyone. That's not even right.
There's so much murder and blood and swearing.
Yeah, but it's like, obviously it's goofy, because then you see
Kiryu goes and races remote control cars.
No, I was going to say that Kiryu throws someone into space, basically.
So if it's ludicrous, it's E for everyone. So raising cars in a hentai game is completely acceptable.
Well, no, it's not E for everyone, it's A for everyone.
Oh, sorry. So if we're yeeting people to space, we can put nipples in it.
As long as they are Kiryu nipples.
Ryo molests his unsuspecting client, who responds appropriately by pinning him with the table and calling for the police.
Yeah, whenever he sexually harasses someone, they turn into Kiryu and have super strength.
Throw him into space. After he explains she's about to leave, but the bartender, who Ryo calls Master, gives him a cocktail to signal that Ryo is required for a job. Master tells Ryo about a guy bringing a runaway in, and then walks off to Ryo. Ryo, do what he do.
He's so badass. Sorry.
Almost immediately, the guy attacks the girl, trying to force her to commit a robbery. So Ryo pulls a .357 Magnum. He tries to give the guy an out, but he refuses. So Ryo shoots himself in the hand.
He's such a badass.
He's so badass.
Okay, so it's a way to prevent the bullet from hitting anyone on the other side of a window, which is hardcore, but still.
I thought it was pretty over the top, but I thought it was pretty clever, to be honest. I didn't see that coming. And it makes sense to slow down a bullet with something.
Yeah, totally.
And I mean, we know you already know he's unhinged with how he gropes all the women, so.
And such a badass.
Such a badass. Especially when he gropes women.
That's the best part about him. That's why we hire his services.
He does it like a badass.
He touches ass like a badass.
Natsumi wraps Ryo's hand and he leaves to carry out the mission of finding the sister's killer. We cut to an alleyway where the BMW driver is talking to a suspicious street informant. The informant says that Ryo is after him, so the driver shoots him. But, like, not with the silenced gun from earlier?
He quickly unscrewed the silencer.
No, it was a different gun I checked.
How was it?
We cut to Ryo getting his hand stitched up by his handler and acting much less cool about having blasted his own hand than he was at the bar. The handler has been told that the killer drives a white BMW and that the person who told him that is now dead. Good old street informants playing both sides. But that means they know who the next target probably is. Speaking of which, we cut to Natsumi buying groceries and walking home. Also, she's nearly shot, but a passing police officer stops the BMW driver from doing so. At home, Ryo is waiting for her and says that he'll stay the night with her. She's against it, once more responding appropriately by throwing groceries at him and attempting to leave. However, he tells her what he now knows about the informant, so she lets him stay, but Ryo keeps unsuccessfully trying to seduce her. Later, the BMW driver breaks into the apartment and shoots the sleeping form in the bed while Natsumi hides. The killer leaves, and Natsumi falls to the floor in tears over Ryo's murder until he molests her again from under the bed.
This time she's okay with it now.
Oh my god. Maybe he wasn't a pervert after. Ah!
It was a ruse so that he could take an infrared instant photograph, which will allow the police to capture the BMW driver in the daylight.
Why infrared?
Because it was dark.
Oh. I don't know photography.
I don't think it works like that, but it does in this. Well, it did in 1987.
Well, he took a picture from under the bed, but he got like a perfect great shot at the
guy. Honestly, technology in 1987 was so advanced. We have it so much worse in 2026.
Well, speaking of technology, like the bad guy of this episode is just, he's just so proud of himself. He's just driving around his BMW and shooting people with a silencer, and the police doesn't know what to do because there's no surveillance or anything. He's like, I figured this shit out.
He needs some of those infrared cameras. Speaking of the BMW driver, we cut to him attempting the same scam to commit murder as he did earlier by asking for directions, but the potential victim runs away screaming. It's because he has a sign on the roof of his car saying, I'm a sexual pervert.
I wonder where Rio got that one from. It was probably gifted to him after a quest or something.
After the driver removes the sign, a card is shoved into his hands which says, surrender or die, City Hunter. Gotta admit, this is good branding.
He has like a bunch of those with different with different messages. Deliver by Tuesday, City Hunter.
Go on a date with me, City Hunter.
Damn it, I was gonna say drop your pennies.
That's better.
Show your tits, City Hunter.
That's the one he gives after he finishes the mission. He's like, here you go. This is my desired payment, thank you.
Ironically, he just gives you a random one, and it's whatever you get.
I mean, he did seem to have a lot of them. He threw a lot of something on the floor.
Imagine he gives it to the BMW driver, the wrong one. It's like, show your tits or else, Demon City Hunter.
I just imagine him going to like Tesco's and going to a machine that prints out the those cards, and oh, this is going to be good. typing the text, printing out like 1,000. He runs out pretty fast.
The driver chases after the person who gave him the card, but can't find them, and instead runs into a police officer. The officer immediately notices a piece of paper on the driver's back, asking him to be arrested. He goes into an arcade to get a drink, which Rio shoots from somewhere.
With a silenced gun, probably.
Look, Rio can instantly transition between being really over the pervert and just a ghost. He can do anything.
So the driver runs back to his car and starts the engine, causing an explosion, which seems to be mainly smoke. The killer drives off and Rio gives chase in his Mini Mark II. The BMW is a Model 320, in case you wondered.
Oh. Well, there you go, people. Come here
such important information.
For the automobile knowledge. Now.
The chase takes them through a park, but a barricade stops the BMW in its tracks, so the killer pulls a gun, which is immediately shot out of his hand. Natsumi snatches the gun from Rio, once more responding appropriately, this time by shoving a loaded firearm in the BMW driver's face.
Can I say this is the second time Rio shoots a hand in this episode?
What was the first one?
His own hand.
That's one of the lock-on options, is aim assist to hand.
Anyway, as I said, it's a appropriate response to a BMW driver, not because this person's trying to kill him and killed her sister, but just because he's a BMW driver.
That's fair enough. I think we can all stand. behind the statement.
How dare you not drive a Japanese car? Get a Toyota.
I mean, Rio drives a Mini. That's a British car.
Shoot, it's Rio too. Why not?
The killer apologizes and says he'll hand himself in, and she finds that she can't do it, so she returns to Rio. The murderer takes advantage of the situation by grabbing his gun and firing at the pair, then jumping in his car and driving like an ordinary BMW driver, smashing into the Mini, then getting a run-up to try and run over our hero.
Well, hero with quotation marks, but go on.
The Mini just gets out of the way like paper.
He shoots Rio's cheek, so Rio blasts off his tire somehow, causing the car to crash. The car explodes in an inferno, and he coolly walks away. And the episode ends.
He's so cool.
Such a badass.
Episode 2 opens on a woman being followed down a busy street by three men. They lose sight of her, and we get the credits, the titles. We cut to Rio and his handler putting together a jigsaw puzzle. It's unexpected nudity because the puzzle is of a naked woman, but minus her buttocks, which upsets Rio.
I was laughing so hard, like it's the 80s and he can't get porn easily, so he makes a jigsaw puzzle. so he can get stuff done before he works.
He even says that he was saving that part for last.
I was saving that jigsaw puzzle. I have one for every day.
I like how he has more restraint with a jigsaw puzzle than he does with real women.
Yeah, he goes straight for the ass on real women. He ruins his own jigsaw puzzle and is told that he needs to guard a scientist's daughter, Mitsuko Shimizu. We cut to later, and he molests her.
No!
He's kicked out, and Mitsuko is immediately attacked in an elevator. Or she would have been if he hadn't snuck back in and helped her get away.
And then she's immediately attacked in an elevator.
Yep, since he's trying to assault her himself, she exits the elevator, allowing him to get pinned in by a bunch of people. And so Mitsuko is approached by the three pursuers again. Doing a bang-up job, Rio. She's forced into a car at gunpoint, so Rio stabs the apparent leader in the butt with a fork, then punches out the other two assailants. The three escape, and he finally introduces himself to her. He takes her to a building overlooking the dockyards and asks who those three were. Apparently, her work with her father was designing a microbe to stop animals from reproducing. So Rio immediately looks at his crotch.
That's too perfect. It's like he would be the first person to get like fired up. No, you can't let that happen.
I thought you were going to say he'd be the first person to get chemically castrated, and I'm like, yeah. She continues, as does he, to say that the microbe could be passed on to humans and was communicable. Since the research and her father were now gone, she was the only source of data left to reproduce the microbe, so she needs his help to ensure she is safe enough to create a vaccine. Rio then takes her to a gun range and shoots a photo of her because she wants him to kill her if she's kidnapped. That wasn't explained in the previous scene.
Yeah, I guess he's trying to demonstrate her how it would be to if he killed her, but I don't know. I think he just wanted to go to the shooting range and
that was time, haven't we?
As good an excuse as baseball. Any.
Let me demonstrate to you how it looks when you get killed. Just for you, so you're prepared when I do it later on.
See, you'll be there on the target in a shooting range, like that. Like a flat photo of you, and I'm going to shoot you, and there will be big holes in you, and you won't react at all.
And that, I won't and regret it, because you didn't let me sexually assault you.
He goes and sexually assaults the shooting range dummy. With Grappoldo.
He drives her back to her hotel while molesting her again, so she responds appropriately and pulls a gun on him. At the hotel, he threatens to jump her, so she again responds appropriately and shoves the gun in his groin. So instead, he exercises on the bed while watching someone on TV exercise. But meanwhile, he's being watched from across the street.
I love how the guy with the binoculars is like, thinking this is the greatest thing ever. Just oh my god, he's so crazy. I'm sorry. Made me wheeze. Literally made me wheeze. Like how into it he was.
Later, Rio harasses multiple women in the hotel restaurant, then is told by the concierge that someone needs him at the front desk. It's his handler who gives him a special bullet that he requested. But the sound of a firing mechanism being engaged gets Rio's attention and he races to tackle Mitsuko. But it was her gun, so it's fine. In the room, he tells her that he now has a bullet which can go through any wall in case he needs to kill her. Then he tries to assault her. Later, he complains that she's still awake and working on a vaccine to save the human race. And still later, dawn breaks, and Rio shames Mitsuko for probably being a virgin.
I think I blocked that out.
The kidnappers respond appropriately by trying to kill Rio.
I was wondering when this was going to loop back into someone else.
They just completely flip and, oh my god, we need to save that woman from that pervert.
He thinks they're after her, but they're after him. They fire gas canisters into the room, then shoot bullets. The gas knocks out both Rio and Mitsuko, and the kidnappers take her. Handler races up to the room and tells Rio that since she's been taken, now he needs to kill her. Which they can... I didn't write a note. There's a tracker in a hairpin in her hair. Which, that's a small tracker for 1987. Sorry, we've already been over how good technology was in 1987.
Yeah, I was about to nag you. I was like, but the infrared.
And then he pulls out the puzzle and puts together a tracker, like a picture of it.
We cut to Mitsuko on a helicopter over a mountain range, heading for a lab in the South Pacific. Since she refuses to sell her knowledge to the arms dealer in charge, they decide to drug her. She doubts Ryo's ability to shoot her in a helicopter until she sees a light aircraft with Rio straddling the wing stanchion.
I half expected him to just be skydiving next to the helicopter with a sniper rifle.
Honestly, I thought he'd just be on the roof of a building and take the shot from like 3 miles away.
Yeah, that's what I was expecting as well.
He takes the shot, but misses. However, the door opens, then rips off and gets stuck in the tail rotor as Mitsuko falls out of the chopper. Rio takes the opportunity to molest her as he's right behind her, wearing a parachute. She responds inappropriately by saying she'll study him once the vaccine is completed. And the episode ends.
I'm gonna molest you next time.
Episode 3 opens on Shun, a guy acting like Rocky from the movie Rocky, but forget him as he's almost immediately shot meters away from his girlfriend. The culprit, Inagaki, according to Shun, slinks away, and we get the title card. We return on Handler looking at a bus or train schedule on a chalkboard, where X, Y, Z indicates a job. We cut to Rio, who has just found out about the murder and is shocked, shocked, I tell you, because he placed a bet on the fight and Shun, it like cannot compete anymore. Apparently, since he bet on Shun, it's now automatically been migrated to the new challenger, Inagaki. Handler is also there and takes Rio out to the park where the murder occurred. So he goes to watch some women playing tennis. Once he's punished for perving, the girlfriend, Megumi Iwasaki, arrives to place flowers on the spot where Shun was killed. The pair watch her covertly, because it appears she isn't the client. Later at the hospital where she works, Ryo molests a nurse and then Megumi. She responds appropriately by concussing him with a chair. Later at home, Megumi is self-medicating stomach pain, then gives us unexpected nudity in the shower.
And at this point, it is a bit unexpected because, like, we're in episode 3. The first one was in a puzzle, which I did not see coming. And then this one is like, oh, here it is, finally.
No, the first one was the barmaids, the waitresses in the bar.
But weren't they, didn't they have something on their nipples? That's yeah, technically kind of nudity.
That's true.
Well, the opening sequence has, like, just straight up tits and ass all the time.
It is quite heavy in TNA. But anyway, Ryo waits until she gets out of the shower to make his presence known. Not sure why he spied on her earlier instead of going straight to introducing himself.
I think he said he liked meeting his clients first.
No, he said, I like to get to know about my clients before I meet them. But he's never done that before in the other two episodes.
The aforementioned groping is getting to know them as my assumption.
While drinking cognac, she explains that Shun had received threatening calls before his murder, and the hit and run, which he'd only recently fully recovered from, had been an attempt on his life. Ryo tells her that the police should be the ones to solve this, not him by murdering Inagaki, but she has another pain attack, downs 3 pills, and says she's running out of time. He palms one of the pills and leaves. The next morning, Ryo goes to see Handler and goes through Handler's sister's underwear drawer. For some reason.
For some reason, are you sure about that? This is just entirely expected behavior. I'm surprised it took until episode 3 at this point.
Ryo then asks for confirmation that Megumi is dying from cancer, which Handler does confirm, showing that her payment is her life insurance policy. We cut to several nights later, and Ryo has been tailing the boxing title champ every day. Suddenly, the champion is grabbed by a figure in a mask and held at knife point. The figure tells the champion to take a dive in the third round, or his daughter's life is forfeit. The champion agrees and gets knocked out, so the attacker removes his mask. It's Inagaki!
Ooh.
Despite having a solid aim on Inagaki, Ryo doesn't take the shot and lets him escape. Later, Ryo makes a single bullet from melted coins. This is explained. Later still, at Megumi's place, he rings the doorbell, then molests her when she opens the door.
He has to keep it interesting if he always breaks in and molests people. They start seeing it coming.
She reacts appropriately and shoves him out the window. This was just so he could deliver tickets to the match. Speaking of which, at the title match, Inagaki wails on the champion. Ryo loads his gold Nitro Express bullet into a double barrel rifle. And during the fight, he shoots, nobody hearing the gun, and the golden bullet enters through Inagaki's ear and stops when it hits the inside of his jaw, a moment before he's knocked clear out of the ring by the champion.
Another greatly silenced rifle in the 1980s.
Ryo tears up the life insurance contract and tells Megumi that his payment will be her pretending that he's her boyfriend and getting herself some medical help. And the episode ends. Has this made you want to check out City Hunter?
The game or the anime?
The game.
Yeah, actually. I saw that it's like a port of an old game. What did you say was original console? It was an NES.
PC Engine.
Yeah, and those games tend to be casual enough to, like, I guess play in like in your free time, just a little bit at a time. And yeah, City Hunter seems entertaining. I said that you can run around with a bazooka, which...
Well, it can't be that difficult because they've added 2 more difficult modes.
Yeah, and the it gets like it's harder to grope women in hard mode.
I assume. No, not enough groping.
I kind of do want to play the game. It's probably still going to be too difficult for me, even though it's not. It's got extra difficulty modes, but yeah, they've included the end credit song "Get Wild," and that song's great. So, is it a yata, nani, or a baka, Atara?
This is definitely a yata for me. I didn't expect to like it as much as I did, but it was really funny. I surprisingly liked the antagonist, aka Rio, and it was great. It's fun. It wouldn't survive nowadays. Way too much sexual molestation, but
there was a live action adaptation on Netflix like a couple years ago. I watched, so I think there's still fan base for it. But yeah, I agree. It's a yata. It was a weird mix where, like, it seems genuinely good. It seems self-aware of what it is, and that Rio is creepy, and somehow it still manages to make him likable. You can still make fun of it because how ridiculous it is. It was a full package, I thought.
Yeah, I gave it a yata. I'm definitely going to watch more of it. And building off of what you just said, we'll go into does it deserve its Annie List score of 76%? I can get that people don't like him molesting people, but you'll have noticed that he always gets his comeuppance. He doesn't get away with it like characters such as Quagmire from Family Guy used to before they made him less problematic.
Less real? Oh.
Yeah, it seems to like almost poke fun at that, at the tropes of like sexualizing women is by like, yeah, no, that's creepy, dude.
To be fair, out of the three episodes, in the second one he gets laid, and in the third one he gets a girlfriend.
No, he's doesn't get laid. He's going to get she says she'll study him. She doesn't say that she's going to sleep with him.
Yeah, oh, don't kid yourself, Ace Lister.
I think she would just sexually harass him and make him feel how it feels.
But yeah, that about brings us to the end of this episode. Thank you for joining me, Arthur and Goz.
Thank you so much for having us.
Thank you.
And thank you for listening to the Pals Anime Lounge. And better yet, thank you for subscribing wherever you found this episode. You can find more from us on GameGreen.com, finding us on social media, or listening to the Greencast podcast. Sora dewa, game on.